Hi, welcome back to Gray Area. My name is Michelle, and today we have Yoko joining us. How are you today? Tell me where you're at.
Hi, Michelle. I'm great, thank you. I started the day with a high intensity training and a couple of coffees, some team meetings, and here I am. I am currently in Baja California Sur, in the Pacific side of Mexico, hanging out on a beautiful property away from the noise.
Yes. How often do you go out there to relax or?
I think the last time I was here was during at the very beginning of the pandemic. Actually, the day the global pandemic was announced, I moved into this yoga community nearby here and lived there on the compound for two months. I think studying yoga and how to become an actual teacher. And just zenning out away from the noise, literally disconnected from the world's madness.
Are there a bunch of yoga communities out there? How did you decide that you wanted to go to where you are now to find this area to practice this and become this yoga coach?
I've been practicing yoga for more than 10 years, very regularly, if not daily. And my old booking agent, who's one of my best friends, has been living here for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And obviously there are various places around the world, you know, promoting yoga teacher trainings or quality yoga teacher trainings, including India, Indonesia, Costa Rica and Mexico, and actually friends of friends had been speaking about this institute here, and I didn't know much about it. I just quickly looked it up, but based on the recommendations of my friends, I thought, oh, you know, I'm gonna sign up to a course. And I really wanted to take some time off touring, because I had been touring for pretty much eight years nonstop, and I never was able to say no to gigs, and basically I blocked out an entire month of my touring schedule to do this teacher training. And strangely enough, the day I entered the institute was the day the pandemic was the day that the world actually shut down globally. Right. So I basically couldn't have timed it any better. I got in there, and I was supposed to be there for a month and then go back to touring. But with the world being shut down, my touring schedule had been completely cancelled, and flights as well. So I decided to, instead of going back to Portugal, where I just relocated to, I decided to actually extend my stay in the institute, which had been closed to public. So we were just a very tight community of like-minded yogis hanging out there, and you know, practicing and teaching and sharing, and it was just probably one of the most magical times of my life.
From those experiences with the yoga community and finding wellness, would you say that you incorporate that towards your music and your production? Your experience?
Well, naturally, that happens. Yeah, I guess. Any experience I have will, you know, reflect in my ways of being, and therefore in the ways I create as well. It's just I don't necessarily set an intention, but it just happens. Mm-hmm.
Before you moved to Australia, when you were going from France to Australia, what was the reason you decided to go out there? Was it music that sent you out there?
It wasn't. Originally, it was a desire to actually press the reset button. I felt like I was following the wrong path at that time, and was getting a little lost, and wanted to I guess prove myself that I was capable of walking away from, of detaching myself from everything I had known. And I wanted to go as far as possible. And I remember looking at the globe and just seeing that Australia was pretty much the furthest I could go at the time. And I figured out a way to obtain a visa, and the easiest at the time was to study again. So I basically signed up to a university. I found a university that sounded really exotic. It was the University of the Sunshine Coast. I looked it up, and it looked pretty chill. They had kangaroos on the campus. It was like a surf spot, and coming from France, it looked rather magical. So I applied, and basically got told that besides paying the fees, I would have to study English and be able to be able to understand the course or the courses, which I did. I borrowed a bunch of money from the bank. I got my family to back me up. I was lucky that my parents could, act as guarantors. And off I went. And I was already passionate by music at the time, and collecting records and playing for fun. And I decided to bring a batch of vinyls with me to Australia. And what happened is I was studying at university, international business, and I started getting gigs on the side and making a little bit of money. And at the end of my international business degree, I realized that not only I didn't want to go back to a corporate environment, but I was also able to generate a decent income just through playing music. So I decided to pursue this this career, and also teach myself how to write music. That's how it all began. So it was in 2006 that I really got into writing music and playing professionally, if I may say. So, but to answer your question, just a simple desire to escape, to press the reset button. I needed to change my ways. I was gravitating. I was just floating in an environment that wasn't necessarily very healthy. And the people who I was hanging out with, as much as I loved them, didn't inspire me. So,
Didn't or did? I'm sorry.
did not.
Okay.
They were much older people, and I loved them to bits, but I didn't want to become what I was witnessing, and I needed to walk away from that environment.
Did you find a different group of people to push you towards the right direction in your university or when you started mixing?
I guess I did, yeah. I think I was clearer on what path to follow, and but therefore just was able to manifest the kind of people who would inspire me moving forward. If that
Okay.
makes any sense.
Yeah, of course it does. Definitely. It really is about who you surround yourself with. It's a reflection of kind of like who you are. I saw some photos of you in the DJ gig in the basement. Was that one of your first gigs in Australia? Like one of your side ones?
No, that was actually in France.
Oh, okay.
I don't, I think I might have just turned 18. It was I grew up in this small town in Alsace, and it was just the town next door. Some friends were doing a basement party, and I mean, we were just like a few of us just spun records at the time. And it was nothing. It was my first gig, but it wasn't a paid gig, or it wasn't like like very official party. But it was my first time playing in front of a group of people. I had done it before, but mostly in my apartment with like two or three friends, hanging out and maybe like smoking weed. But I had never played a party per se. So yeah.
And So you mentioned before that you music was always like pretty prevalent in your life. Were you self-taught with spinning these records? In what ways was music surrounding you throughout your childhood?
I guess that I've always been a very sensitive person, and I was able to find some sort of an escape through music. I was always listening to deep, meaningful, melancholic, kind of nostalgic music, and yeah, it was my way of connecting with the deep emotions I was experiencing, I guess. Yeah, I don't really know how to explain that. Kind of weird. Can you repeat your question?
Yeah, no, of course. I was just saying because you in that picture, you that was your first time playing in front of people. You've that obviously wasn't your first time mixing. Probably obviously taught yourself how to spin and all that stuff. And I guess the follow-up would be is how was, mixing or music like prevalent in your life prior to making it like a musical career almost?
Okay, gotcha. Well, I started collecting records at the age of 15. I think one of my best friends had a set of turntables in his basement, and we used to just go jam and mix. I mean, we weren't really mixing because we didn't even understand the concept of mixing. We were just kind of like mashing beats, and it was a complete disaster. But we're having fun, right? Just playing house beats and just making noise, spinning records. But little by little, I think I started understanding the concept of mixing and blending tracks together. And I think the pivotal moment this happened was, I must have been 16 or 17, and we were in a warehouse party in the mountains, in Alsace, and Laurent Garnier was playing, and we must have been like 60 or 70 people in the warehouse. It was ridiculously like small, super small, very intimate, and Laurent was playing for maybe like 9 hours or something like this, and he just took us on a trip, on a musical journey that I found super difficult to understand. He was able to blend, music from like drum and bass, hip hop, and house and techno, and even rock, and make it in a and mix it in a way that it was so flawless. That really was like the moment where I realized what a DJ should be able to do, right? This is like just yeah, flawlessly mixing musical genres and creating a journey for the listener to go on. And this was the time where I was like, wow, I would love to be able to do this. Yeah, I got into understanding how to beat match and to mix different styles of music together. I think when I was younger, I was a lot more adventurous, and I don't know, I guess technology, I mean, playing records was just like so much rawer in itself. Yeah. So I don't know if I'm answering your question.
No, you
But
totally did. That's great. I mean, like that, number one, that sounds like a proper warehouse party. Number two,
yeah,
I
it
guess
was.
it's very important to be able to branch out into different genres and pretty much play everything. So in terms of your sound, when did you develop that? Or, what genre would you classify yourself under, and what inspired you to go
Well, I've gone through so many different styles, I think, throughout the year. But initially, I was exposed to hard techno and like more rave music.
Yeah.
Techno very much so. Eventually tech house and more house. I remember when I moved to Australia and I was in Brisbane. I played electro techno as well and drum and bass. But when I moved to Australia, I got exposed to Deep House. I discovered Deep House, I think, in 2008, and I got really sucked into it. I obsessed. I mean, the Deep House sound back then was slightly different to the Deep House now. But yeah, and then I remember I had a bunch of residencies where like I had this like Thursday night residency where I used to play between 10 and 12 hours. And I got to, I was playing music from like soundscapes and down tempo at 70 BPM to, disco and new disco and deep house and house and tech house and a bit of techno. Like I had a chance to really like go on a musical journey once again and learn how to program a set. I think that essentially nowadays, depending on how long I can play for, I always love to explore if given I have, I am provided with a platform to express myself. I will, play a little bit of disco, I'll play some house, I'll play some techno, I'll play some tech house, I'll play some minimal, I'll play some breaks, and I'll try and, once again, being inspired by Laurent that night, I'll try and like make it in a way that's like harmonic and flawless, so people are not, even though they never know where it's going, like it flows. But yeah, and otherwise, unfortunately, most of the sets we are given are usually between like 90 minutes to like 3 hours, and then it's kind of like if you play 90 minutes and you're playing in between two artists who have been slam or who slam it, you kind of like it's difficult to like bring it down and then go up, and you don't really have anywhere to like to go.
And you don't have much time to really get in
But
deep
yeah,
in your bag.
I'll, yeah,
I'm sorry.
exactly. It usually takes me an hour and a half, or like 2 hours to really like kind of find my groove and capture, like like sucking the audience into my like my bubble, my flow. And then from that moment onwards, I think I can like kind of like take them anywhere. It's like you become like the puppeteer.
You are controlling the entire crowd. It's crazy. You pull down the music,
Yeah.
stops. You bring it up, everyone's moving. It's crazy. Looking from like a different perspective, just watching everyone in the crowd and seeing how much control the artist has over everyone, it's insane. Everyone will stop, like, and
Yeah, and
pause.
it's a skill. It's a skill. I mean, it's not given to, I think it takes practice and experience as well behind the decks to be able to really get that happening.
Of course.
But yeah. So yeah, to answer your question, I don't know if I have a specific style. I mean, recently I've been saying that I was drawn to more minimal house music, which I really enjoy playing because of how much layering, how much room there is for layering. So it's like a little bit more exciting as a DJ when you're playing, on more than two decks, and you can like have loops and just create like kind of like new songs on the fly, right? When you play like more like deep house, I don't know, there's like the songs are like they're so full with like melodies and stuff, like the organic house stuff. It's like a melodic techno. It's like you play a track and basically the last 30 seconds you mix something else in, and there's no real like flow. It's like one track after the other. And I really like the idea of like creating one big block of music, and you don't really know when the new track's coming in or fading out, or it's just, yeah.
So I guess that brings me to my next question in terms of producing. What would you consider to be your favorite or most powerful instrument or use when creating your sound? Instruments or some sort of like program, I guess. Like what can you not
Tool,
make your music
yeah.
without?
My laptop. Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I haven't been writing so much music in the last, I guess, in the last year and a half, because First of all, I've been quite busy on the road, and then I lost. Well, I moved out of my place. I bought a property, and I haven't had an actual recording studio, so I haven't had a space to really create. I've been focusing on developing the record label and the brand, and just like the more business side of things. But lately I've been working on Ableton, and I just use like this piece of machinery here, the laptop. I don't have any analog pieces of equipment with me. I don't even have a keyboard. It's fascinating to see the infinite amount of possibilities just that you can explore just through the laptop itself. I do enjoy having access to a bunch of machines around in the studio. But I don't think there's any favorite piece of gear for me. I just really go with whatever's accessible at the time, and try and explore, whatever's there. I like to be forced out of the comfort zone and just learn how to adapt, and be present with
Amazing.
whatever's in front of me, right?
Definitely. Okay, so yeah, let's talk a little
So,
bit about Satya. Am I pronouncing it correctly? Satya?
yeah.
Okay, so the music you have put out before, is that what you want sort of from other artists on your label when you're putting out music on there?
What do you mean exactly? Like using my music as a reference for them?
No, I guess you're almost like your sound that you had when you were putting out like Reignite the Flame, during that time. Is that what you want from artists who send in music to Satya? Is that the style you want, or it's like
Ah,
what?
no, not at all. Actually, I'm really trying to steer away from, what Yoko has been associated to in the past. I am refining my, I mean, I'm constantly kind of like refining myself and trying to evolve, right, and change and create based on whatever I resonate with at a given time. I would love, I've always been drawn to like the warm kind of like deep like emotional almost like side of house music, and when I was creating, I always like felt like I was being hugged in my studio. I was making very warm textures and like smooth like songs, but I am trying to write something that is a little bit more for the dance floor. I don't really play my music, and I never really have, because I don't think it's dance floor music. For me, it was like calm down music. It's like heroin house. It sounds horrible, but it's like it's like the music you listen to when you come back from the after party, or and you want to feel supported and loved. And so, yeah, I am trying to, even though I am still drawn to the warm textures, I would love to write music that is a little bit more like dance floor oriented. I am trying, little by little. I think I am getting there. But with Satya, I'm just I feel that a lot of artists are constricting themselves and trying to follow trends, or trying to fit in when really they have a lot more to say or to express. And with Satya, I am trying to push like a circle of artists to really tap into their own truth, and like let that like be expressed freely. Essentially, if an artist is like making something that they're really like fond of, but I'm not resonating with, obviously I'm not going to push it out. But it's like finding this like this middle ground between like the artists who surround me, who I love, who I want to push forward, and obviously letting them make music that they really want to that they're really proud of, but also that I resonate with at the same time.
Of course. That makes sense. Are there any artists that we should be looking forward to for any upcoming releases on Satya, or is that
Yeah, definitely. Right now, well, we've got another VA coming up in a few weeks with again Red Sa, who's been a fixture on the label and one of my previous production partner on All Their Dream, making amazing, super classy deep house like it used to be back in the day, and that's the way I perceive it anyway. We've got this young up-and-coming artist from Pakistan who's also working as a graphic designer in the team and social media guru. His name is Heda Upal. We have an Italian artist called Francesco Mami, and we've got a release by Hermanes, who's Dutch, or I believe he's Dutch. I hope I'm not mistaken. He's also done stuff on I mean, he's been around for many years and released on various labels, from tech house to house to minimal house, and he's come up with a super cool release for Satya. I'm very excited to share it. That will come out in April. I've been testing it out, playing it a lot, and the response has been phenomenal. So I think this will probably be one of the strongest release on the label thus far. Something that will appeal to quite a broad audience, from minimal heads to like house heads to even the organic house heads, I think. So that's great. I'm currently speaking with Pau, who's also been or funnily enough, like a strong player in All Their Dream, who's also kind of refining his sound and exploring something a little more minimal and groovy. Who else? Christina Lasic, Italian based, super power woman, full-time mom, and I think working for Google and just producing on the side and DJing and just making some bombs.
And she's a mother as well,
Hopefully
you said?
getting she is,
Wow, she's incredible.
Who else? Vicken Armen, who's French, Berlin based, and Armenian, who you might be familiar with as well.
A lot of international artists.
Lots of international artists. I guess there's many more, but these are the first ones that come to mind.
I'm looking forward to hearing all that. That's awesome.
Yeah, cool.
So the calligraphy script for your label, was that correct, created by your father?
Yeah, it was just his handwriting, actually.
Oh, okay. And the watercolor paintings that represent the label are by your mother, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I thought it was a nice. It's funny, I was pondering upon the what kind of artwork I would go for, the visual identity of the label, and I started looking into watercolor artists, and all of a sudden I remembered that mom used to paint, and I thought to reach out to her, and she sent me a bunch. She just scanned a bunch of her previous paintings, and I was like, oh wow, look, I think you're the artist I've been looking for, and what a great way to
It's
reconnect
beautiful.
with my parents as well. And I thought, oh, let's ask Dad to write the text. Maybe I can have him write all the text on the covers. And so he did, and that was my parents being involved in Satya, and yeah, it's nice, because I've been away from home since the age of 17, and I'm turning 38 this year, so it's been a long time away from my family, and I can probably count on two hands how many times I've seen them in the last 20 years.
I mean, and you're pretty far from them. They're still in France, right?
They are, yes, in France, and despite maintaining contact through Skype or now WhatsApp on a regular basis, it's just not the same as being around and having the physical contact. And it was a beautiful way to to involve them in my life and my career and my project and like strengthen the bonds again.
Right.
So yeah, it's been super fun. And my mom got back into painting as a result of it. And yeah, it's nice.
It's beautiful. And I noticed on your earlier posts on the Satya Instagram page, there were a bunch of quotes on there. They were really moving. Who wrote those, and was that like a sort of a way to set the tone for what you were inviting for your label?
I guess yes. I can't remember what quotes they
It was just
are,
like
but I mean,
little like texts. It was like almost like a, it was like
yeah, they probably came from me.
okay. That's
Yeah,
awesome.
most of the time I enjoy writing like short text and quotes and inspiring blurbs. So yeah, the idea was I was going to like post more quotes, but then I didn't want to become one of those like typical spiritual like social media pages, and yeah, but yeah, these were must have been mine or inspired by text I've read or whatever experiences
Yeah,
I've
I
had.
mean, I love those. Those sounded super professional, honestly.
Thank
So
you for saying.
I guess the next question would be is you mentioned before that bef building a following for your label or brand would have been a healthier process than yourself as an artist. Can you kind of explain that to me, or do you still feel that way?
Well, yeah, the thing is, I've built a following as an artist through a specific sound, and now I am through the platform, I am pushing a different sound, and I guess a major part of my followers are probably like super confused. A lot of them appreciate the shift and the changes, but a lot of them still associate me to mostly to All Day I Dream and my achievements through that specific platform, and now they're following Satya. And they might be expecting, for that sound to continue being pushed, and that's not happening. So I think, I think that might answer the question.
Well, there's always room to adapt to new sounds from artists. It's very
Yeah, of
nice to
course.
hear. It's always very nice to hear artists branching out and trying a new style or putting out different styles.
Yeah, but not everyone appreciates it. I mean, I've had fans who were like, oh no, where's the old Yoko type thing. I mean, most of the followers actually appreciate it, I think. But some people still come with expectations, and to my shows, and they're like, I mean, less and less now because I think it's been a few years now. I've been communicating about the shift. But there was a time where like people would come and be like, oh, All Day I Dream, All Day I Dream, and I'd be like, ah, this is not me, like this is a part of me. But like, yeah, let me express myself fully, yeah.
Interesting. Well, I mean, like I said, I love when artists try new things, put different things out. Doesn't matter if there was an older version of them or a newer version of them. I think it's great. So I guess my you cut out. I am not sure if you still see me or if you can hear me, but your camera went out.
My camera went out.
Yes.
I'm not sure why.
We can still proceed. It's no problem. I can still hear you, so as long as you can hear me as well.
I can hear you, I can see you, and I can still see myself. So
Okay,
I'm
there you
not
go. We're
sure.
back. We're good.
Okay.
See you again. Awesome. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your spirituality and like where your journey started and how that came about. Could you tell me a little bit about your first experience?
My first experience. What
Yeah.
do you mean exactly? My first spiritual experience as a human being.
Yeah, I guess how you decided to go on a spiritual route or how you made that kind of a part of who you are. I'm not sure if I'm wording it correctly in terms of like a
No,
spiritual journey.
yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, when, yeah, it's really hard to retrace it all, but I think, like I said before, I've always been a very sensitive person, and my experience of life, I guess, quite profound. Yeah, just in depth. I remember when I was studying philosophy in high school, and we were studying the topic of consciousness, and throughout the text I read, I remember it was like I was seeing life through a filter, through a curtain, and from one day to the other, the curtain was lifted, and I was able to just like understand, get a better of understanding, get a better understanding of how energy moves and how everything really just like is energy, and I became a part of the matrix, and I became the matrix itself. It was, everything started just aligning in front of me and making a lot more sense. And then I eventually got into the yoga practice, and I think from the moment I step on the mat, I'm having a spiritual experience. I mean, I'm just like becoming a lot more present. I tuned to the subtle energy movements within the body, and understand that whatever happens within the body is just a reflection of what happens in the external environment. I think I had a moment when I was maybe like 10 years ago. I was watching a documentary by Stephen Hawking. And that this thing came up on the screen where there was a head like cut in half, and there was a mirror in like the person's head, and he was reflecting the stars. And it's something that I really related with at the time. It was like I kind of understood at a young age that the infinite layers of the happenings within the body are just a reflection of the infinity of the universes. It's like whatever, we're looking for answers to existential questions out there when really everything happens within. I'm not sure I'm making any sense.
You are. I'm following. Definitely. It is very interesting. I've never experienced anything like that. That's why I wanted to ask you how you kind of started like getting into it or what inspired you almost. Like, so I guess that Stephen Hawking thing you felt close to in a way or
Yes, I was. Yeah, I did a lot of reading, in my like late teenage years and early adult years, like philosophy, literature, like poesy or poetry, sorry. I guess the practice itself, like the yoga practice itself, has like helped me attune to like I said, the subtle energetical movements within the body. Yeah, I don't really know what else to say.
okay.
Yoga has been the one thing that changed my life for the
Yeah.
better.
So do you practice it every day?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah, I have a almost daily practice. I definitely move every day. I love movement, whether it's like cardio or functional training, high intensity interval training, monkey movement. I think, yeah, probably more stuff. But I love stretching. I just, yeah, stretching, strengthening.
Take me through a day in your life of Yoko when he's not traveling or touring. What would my day look like if I were you?
It's usually pretty relaxed. I'd wake up fairly early, and first thing I do usually is have have some greens, like a juice of some sort, and step on the mat. I like to heat up the body first thing in the morning, so I'll usually do some functional training or some like high intensity for like 30 minutes to an hour. Then I'll have breakfast and a coffee. Get on the computer, check emails, do admin related work, maybe get on calls if needed. Then I'll sit around. Actually, there's a nice bath here, for instance, so I'll do like a nice bath. I'm all about just wellness and taking it slow and recalibrating. So, like right now I'm actually writing music throughout the day, just mucking around with some fresh ideas, spending time talking with friends. I'll meditate. I'll take a nap. I'll go for a walk on the beach. I'll go for a swim, and I'll eat food. I'll have some wine.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, listen to music. It's you know, and I usually try to avoid social interactions as much as possible. I mean, I don't avoid them, but I guess it's just so consuming. When you're out on the weekends, and maybe just because of the way I am and how I treat people and how I like to, I'm very much an open book, and I like to just have a genuine, just explore a genuine connection with people. So I give a lot of myself, and I open up, and I take on a lot of energy from others as well. And it is super tiring. So whenever I come back to my nest, I like to just hibernate, basically, and spend time, in silence, contemplating life, looking around. Just like, I mean, I'm just peeling the layers of reality. I can be staring at a tree and at the wind, like brushing the leaves for ages. I'm like super quiet like this, and I can see, some people would get bored, and I'm just like, wow, just like standing in awe, fascinated by like how just mind-boggling everything is around me, like reality, and there's so like there's just infinite layers to it.
Do you
Yeah, I
feel the
find it
same way
fascinating.
about social media?
But what do you mean?
In
Do I
terms
feel the
of,
same way? I mean, there's infinite layers to it as well,
no,
but
I was gonna
I
say,
feel much more of a connection to like the tree.
no, I meant in terms of like detaching yourself from the internet and people on there to focus more on reality and being present.
Yeah, I mean, we always get caught up and sucked in, but excuse me, I'm very good at catching myself. I actually don't spend so much time on social media. I mean, I don't use Facebook, for instance. I have a Facebook page, but I've disconnected from Facebook maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I am not on TikTok. I use Instagram, but I hardly follow. I mean, I follow a few people, obviously, and but I don't really keep up with the news feed. I mostly use it as a tool to promote myself. I don't really, I use WhatsApp quite a lot to keep up with people, and I find it extremely consuming. It is pretty much my only way to keep in touch with people I care about around the world, because I am so, constantly on the move. I'm engaging in a lot of virtual connections. Generally speaking, I mean, I don't, yeah, I'd rather just like grab my Kindle and read than check out the Instagram news feed.
Right.
I look at like what everyone's up to and end up like, thinking, oh wow, I wish I was there, or like, when really I'm having a great time where I am, and
Yes. That's super
try and
important in this
be as present as possible. Yeah, I mean, it is super toxic at the end of the day, and well, I
especially for
find it is. Pardon?
this generation of people, we are constantly consuming and we don't really find time to look up from our phone and around and see what's going on outside.
Yeah, but I
So
mean, at the end of the day, I'm not judgmental of, whatever these people do. It's like, I'm trying not to be, because to each their own, whatever I resonate with doesn't necessarily mean that everyone else should be resonating with too. But yeah, when it comes to me, I'd rather not, use my phone at all. I mean, when I was living in that yoga institute, here in Baja during the pandemic, there was we only had 30 minutes internet per week. So
Wow.
it was amazing. I mean, that's when I really like started tuning back into a state of presence and appreciating everything that just happens around me, the beauty of it all, and all these things that we have a tendency to take for granted, that like take a whole new meaning again. It's so nice to be able to be present and steer clear from this like world of projections we have it, we usually live in the noise.
Right, and it's nonstop.
Yeah.
Name a word that describes the way you look at the world.
Just one word.
Just one word.
Broad.
Okay, I like that. Definitely. So
I
I
was
guess
gonna say open actually, but yeah,
open.
open. Yes.
Okay. We're gonna get into the speed round of questions. Not serious or anything. And then we can wrap this up. So, first question, this is for my own reason, is what do you use in your hair to maintain those locks?
Nothing at all.
Nothing?
Yeah, I
Nothing at
hardly
all?
wash it actually. I mean, since Burning Man 2015, I think I can count on two hands how many shampoos I did, because you can
Wow.
have three counts. It's kind of like, yeah, it's cleaning itself. I do use conditioner and I brush it, but I mean, I just like I might shampoo my scalp once every now and then. But nothing at all. Just I let it hair dry.
Yeah, that's some great
That's it.
genetics. That's crazy. I wish.
Yeah.
That. All right, so okay, so coffee, matcha, or tea?
Coffee.
What's your spirit animal and why?
Am I supposed to know, or just kind of like make one up?
You can make one up. If you could relate to an animal, what kind of
Yeah, I don't know what my scorpion animal is. I would say Scorpio. And why? Because it stings.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you have any traditions before you perform or some sort of ritual, like something you do before you get on stage?
Depends on the day, but yeah, maybe like actually no. I
No?
don't.
Okay.
I don't. Rather after.
Okay.
After the performance, but not before. I like to sit like in silence for a moment. Like yeah, but after the performance.
Take it all in.
Yeah, take it all in, exactly.
Favorite country or city?
Favorite country? Australia. All city
And city.
and city. Not much of a city guy. I'd say Lisbon.
Okay. I'll take it. If you had one meal to eat for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Pasta.
Is there a specific type of pasta? Just plain pasta? What do you like on top?
Pasta, olive oil, parmesan. That's it.
Lovely. I love that one as well. If you had one superpower, what would
Flying.
be? Make traveling a lot easier, wouldn't
Yeah, and more sustainable.
it? Okay, wine or beer?
Wine.
Red or white?
Red.
Favorite yoga pose?
Headstand.
Favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show? Friends.
Classic. Finish this sentence. Before I die, I want to. And then something you would want to do.
Climb the Everest.
I've never heard of that one before. Okay. Jazz or the blues?
Jazz.
If you can perform anywhere or on anything, where or what would it be? If after you climb Mount Everest, you could play there.
The Great Pyramids in Egypt.
Beautiful. Yes. Definitely. That would be sick, honestly.
Yeah, it almost happened actually, but yeah, maybe
We'll
one day.
manifest it. We'll definitely manifest it.
Yes.
That would be awesome. Well, that's all I have for you today. Thank you for answering those speed round questions.
My pleasure.
Thank you again for hopping on with me and speaking with me. I look forward to hearing what Satya put out. I hope you enjoy the rest of your staycation in Baja.
Thank you, I will, I'm sure.
And your performance in New York, I'm looking forward to seeing it as well.
Yeah, looking forward to meeting you in person.